Well, this afternoon, what I'd like to address, brethren, is a topic that needs to be reviewed in all of our lives up close and personal. We're launching into a new year. Only God knows the far-reaching effect of what is yet ahead. But we are living in the prophetic time of the end, the days of the end, and we find in them a lot of confusion and uncertainty in the lives of men and women. People are not sure about anything anymore. Which brings me to a question I want to ask all of us. Can you depend, well, let me put it this way. In what do you place your confidence as an individual? What do you place your confidence in as an individual? What do you trust, put your faith, your belief, and even more so, do you know and really know that you know what you think you know? Because this is a time of introspection, people don't have confidence anymore as to what they should do in facing certain problems and difficulties that they face in life. When we as individuals are brought into the church of the living God, and it is God who calls us into the church, and this is something that I think maybe we don't ask ourselves enough. Maybe we just assume. And it's time not to assume because of the dangers that are all around us. We live in a highly volatile and dangerous world. And we're going to need help, guidance, and direct to navigate this life through the minefield that is ahead of us. There is a terrible minefield ahead of us. The book of Revelation talks to the church of God, and it tells us that there is things that we must be mindful of. And you can examine each one of those churches that are spoken there, and you see certain things that are admonished, that you're going to have to monitor your enthusiasm for the calling that God has given you. Because without that, you could lose your love for your first calling into the church. Then you can read about persecution, then you can read about false doctrines and things that can come along. The admonition then says that you should hold fast what you have, that no man take your crown. But then the last admonition in the end says be alert and be careful, because you're going to be bombarded 24/7 by a very dangerous element. It's called Laodiceanism. And if you can't recognize that working on you, you're on dangerous ground. Laodiceanism is a situation that, as the Bible clearly defines it, it says you should either be cold or hot. God does not want us to be in that kind of quasi in between. And I thought to myself, I said, well, now what makes people get caught in that kind of a thing? And we're not talking about the general masses of people. We're talking about people who are called by God to be added into the church of God, and that's the reason why you are here today. You have been called, I have been called, for a very special relationship that not many individuals at this time have been so blessed. And it's not because we're better than anybody else, it's because God, in His mercy, has selected us from His vantage point. And He's giving us an opportunity, what I call the chance of a lifetime, to be in the first assembly line production of sons and daughters of God in the great plan of God. We call it first fruits, becoming part of the first fruit family of God. Today it seems like people are not really sure about anything, but there's one thing that God wants us all to be mindful of. He wants us to be sure of our calling. And this is what we want to look at, because, you know, if you don't ask yourself, how do you know that you've been called? You're here. How do you know that you've been called? And the question we want to ask ourselves is, what evidence do you have that you've been called? Because the calling of God is very important. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, the Word of God uses this very term by the Apostle Paul when he's talking to the Corinthians. He says, "For you see your calling, brethren." So my question to us today, do we see our calling as brethren in the church of God? It's very important. And in that context, we're going to discuss the title of this message today, which I'm giving to you right now, Make Your Calling and Election Sure. You've got to make your calling and election sure because there will be forces out there in that everyday world that are going to try to dislodge your conversion, that are going to try to cause you to doubt and to vacillate and become virtually lukewarm. It's not that you don't know, because if you were put to the test and say, well, do you know this? And you say, oh, yeah, I know. But when you ask more specifically, how do you know? What is the evidence that you know? You've got to ask yourself those brutal questions, because it's your conversion that's on the line. If you're called at this time, this is a very special calling from God. In fact, the Apostle Paul, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, he refers to it as a holy calling, a holy calling, and the high calling of God. It is something that is to be valued. It is something to be appreciated with a very deep sense of gratitude, a high calling from God. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14 bears that out, a high calling. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, that it's a holy calling. Listen to the terminology that's being used. High calling of God, not just an average calling. Something's happened to us that is very high in its requirement of this calling. And God has given us admonition in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 11, he says, we must walk worthy of this calling. Well, have we? Have we walked worthy? That's what God wants us to ask ourselves as we move into this new year of 2020. It's very important. And do we see our calling? There are other people who say they believe, but believe what? What do we believe? What do we put our trust and confidence in? These are important questions that only you as an individual can answer. What we are now going to do in the time remaining is we're going to look at various elements to see whether or not we can really go forward with confidence and faith and trust in the Word of God. Because that's the admonition of the Scripture. But that's not what people believe today. People are all over the page. I had an interesting experience here recently. I had a topic in mind that I wanted to get some information on, so I went onto the internet and to the YouTube, like many of you, and lo and behold, man alive, I got hit with dozens and dozens of individuals talking about this particular issue. So I listened to a few of them, and this one was here, and this one was there. And some of them are very good, and some of them are very bad. I mean, it's a mix. And what it really told me is that there is a need for tremendous discernment when you're listening. Even as the Bible tells us, Jesus used the term, take heed how you hear. Listen carefully what these people are saying, and don't assume what they're saying is correct. We're going to see why that is so important as we move along. But you can be sure of what your calling is all about. And if you're not sure of that calling, it's time to find out. Because the evidence that God is looking for is the fruit, the works that we do. He tells us that in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 17, that what we are involved in is being perfected so that we can be doing good works, good things that God has purposed and planned. We all enjoy doing, and God wants us to do what's going to bring the good result. There was an incident years ago when television was first coming in back in the 1950s. I believe this is when this lady I'm going to refer to was very popular. Her name was Betty Furness. Some of you might remember that name. Probably she's lost in the shadows of TV of the past. But that was in the black and white days of color television. Those were the only two colors you had at the time, black and white. And so you had to enjoy what you had until, you know, the Peacock came on and you got colored television. And now they got Peacock streaming that, you know, we're just moving through time so fast anymore. But what was interesting at the time, she was representing a firm called Westinghouse, which was a very popular manufacturer of refrigerators and washing machines and other home vessels, or things ladies would use in the kitchen and what have you. But one time on television, this was one of the biggest bloopers that took place, one of these fun things that can happen and embarrass at the same time. She was advocating how you could really have confidence in Westinghouse, you know, and everything was fine. And the famous words that she was noted for were saying, you can be sure if it's Westinghouse. In other words, you can count on it. It'll deliver the goods. So she reached over in this picture on TV, and she reaches over to the refrigerator. Some of you might remember this. And she grabs a hold of the refrigerator and she starts yanking on this thing, and it will not open. Now, she's just been praising this thing for what good it is, and you can really count on it, and she can't even get the door open. And then she just turns around out of frustration and just said, well, I guess you can be sure if it's Westinghouse. And that's it. And it was just hilarious because she recovered very well from what was an embarrassing situation. She's promoting how good this thing is, and then it didn't deliver the goods. Well, for us, can you be sure that God is going to deliver the goods? Or is it going to be like, again, her trying to open the door, you're trying to find answers to these things? God does not want us to live an uncertain life. He doesn't want us to be, like it says, lukewarm. Now, to me, that means those who are in that Laodicean period of time, they know what they should do. They're just not doing it like God would like it to be done. He wants them to be hot, to heat up, so that he can pour out his blessing upon them. You know, when you become dominated with uncertainty, it has a form of a paralytic form. It's almost like it paralyzes you and you're not able to act. God wants us to be doers and to act accordingly. So what he has done, he's given us information in his word, and he tells us that, first of all, he wants us to know he desires everyone to be saved. That's the God of the Bible. That's the God you and I have been called to serve, the God who wants everyone ultimately to be saved. But we know that not everyone will, because something has to be done before that can happen. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says he wants all to come to repentance, which means they've got to change something that they haven't done. Every one of us have had to change. We've come from all walks of life, different backgrounds, and what has God done? What has he done in our lives? He has called us with a unique calling. Now, how do we know that? Because, again, the scripture tells us what God is doing. He said in John 6:44, through Jesus, his own beloved son, he says, no man comes to me, that's the Father, except what? He is called. So Jesus is saying, no man can come to the Father except he is called. You come to the Father through Jesus. And Jesus is the one who tells us that he is the one that makes it possible for us to know our Heavenly Father. And that becomes a very important aspect of our calling. No one No one can come unto Jesus except God has been involved in your life and he's called you to see who the real Jesus of the Bible is. And then John 14 reminds us in verse 6 where Jesus says, he is the way, the truth, and the life. Why? Because that's the only way anyone can have entrance into the kingdom of God. So our faith and our assurance doesn't come from what human beings say, but what God says and what God does to bring us to the knowledge of why we were born, why we were put on this earth, and why we are here. The very fact that we are here is a miracle. Why aren't we out there somewhere? There's a lot of good people out there, and a lot of those good people we know, we interface with them, but they're not being called at this time. Why is that? Because there is a need to change. Everyone needs to change. That's one of the hardest things for human beings to do. And especially when they read in the Bible that you've got to be baptized, so the first thing they do, I want to be baptized. But they forget, you get the cart before the horse, that's not going to work. You can't be baptized and have a genuine baptism unless you've come to repentance. This is why the fruits in time show that many people were dunked rather than deeply converted at the time of their baptism. We live, we move, we have being. God wants us to go forward with hope. Romans 15 and verse 13 tells us we should be overflowing with hope, not having any uncertainty. You see, God put us in a very unique position, but he says, unto whom much is given, much is required. There's something required of us. We've got to be in compliance in living life to the best of our ability, in walking the way of God. And that's not easy, brethren, for any of us. That's not easy for anyone, because we're getting a lot of static thrown at us from the God of this world. And what he is doing it, he does it in increments. He does it in small bits and pieces just to wear out the saints, to take you down so that you're not aware of what is happening to you. You know, it's kind of like termites. What do termites do? They work very quietly and they're very subtly underground. You don't even see what's going on until all of a sudden you see some of the little signs that something might be amiss here, and then you check and find out, and you press on something on the wall, and all of a sudden it crashes, and you realize, uh-oh, termites. Something's been undermining the foundation here of the home. Well, in the same way, Satan is always seeking to undermine our conversion. He wants to bring us down, and that's why you and I are admonished to make sure that your calling and election is on target, where it's supposed to be. And we forget that, I believe, sometimes. We get so caught up in everyday routine, and we're not looking forward to the end as much. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through to 13, Titus chapter 2, 11 through to 13, says this is what you and I should be looking for. What? The return of Jesus Christ. Well, somebody might say, well, nobody knows. Well, that's right, because nobody knows. Jesus said nobody knows when he's going to come back. But he said there would be signs that would tell you you better be alert to what's happening around you. And because we never know, it requires that we always be in a state of alert and making sure that we're watching and praying as we read the signs that are happening in the world around us. Where do these things come from? How can we know and know that we know? Because, you know, it's amazing. You look at people who have come and gone over the years. Think about it. We've all known people who we've loved and still love, but we don't know where they are anymore. They just got lost in the shadows out there. Once they said they believed the very things you and I say right now we believe. But what happened to them? Well, somebody else comes along and says, you know, you don't have to do that anymore. Oh, and suddenly, it's like a revelation. Yeah, well, that's what I believe. I never did believe that, you know, we should do this. And then I ask myself, well, then why did you do it for so long, 10, 20, 30 years? and then you walk away from it and say you never believed it? All that's doing is putting a big neon sign over your head and saying, hypocrite, hypocrite, hypocrite. That's what it is. Because you said this is what you believe. You said this is what you had confidence in. Why is this important, dear brother? Why do I address this subject today? Because I don't know if we put it in this type of terminology, but did you realize that you and I are in a life and death struggle? We're in a life and death struggle for whether or not we're going to have the opportunity to live in the family of God forever or just disappear from the scene as if you never existed. And we don't like to hear that. Yeah, we don't like to hear that. But that exactly is what the scripture is saying. And we know that it says that there are going to be many individuals who will refuse God's loving offer for salvation. And what's what we're talking about? We're talking about salvation, and that means forgiveness of sins. That means having a better life now, as well as spending eternity in one of the most glorious states of existence, that the Apostle Paul later said that when he saw that, he was so moved by that, he says, brethren, he says, you can't compare with what I saw with what's going to be revealed in us in the future. I personally believe that God gave him a very quick glimpse of that so that that would inspire him and fill him with the enthusiasm and the passion to go out and to preach, because he knew he was going to get a lot of resistance. You know, the things of God are not popular with the vast majority of people. People would rather just go and do their own thing, and yet to be think they would like people to come along like some of these modern-day ministers. And like I told you when I was on the video there on the internet and I looked and I saw somebody, I said, you know, they're nothing more than positive mental attitude preachers. They're not biblical preachers. They're positive mental attitude saying, you know, God loves you. Well, how does he love you? They don't tell you. You just know God loves you. Well, that's not enough to convince a lot of people. People need to understand the specifics. You and I have been given the specifics, brethren, how to live, and we are told that it is imperative that we hold tight to those things. Why? Because most people will not go that route. And even people who once were called to be a part of the church of God, they will turn away from that. Where do you go when you turn away from the things of God? The only place I can see is called the world. You go back to the world, and I read in the scripture, it likens a certain type of animal that once had been dirty and got cleaned up, and then goes back into the mud, muck and mire again. That's not a place to go. No, God wants all of us to be assured from his word. He's the only one. He's the only one that can give us the straight answer as to how to live the life he's given to us. He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to enjoy our families. He wants us to live every phase of life to the full. You know, much of what happens in our day and age today is being driven by feelings. We hear so much of this thing about feelings. And so people today get all emotional, they get all kind of gushy when it comes to feelings. Feelings cannot be trusted, brethren. You know, we've all had feelings, we still have feelings, and what happens? Your feelings can betray you. There was a guy who sang years ago a song. He was hooked on feelings. And we can get hooked on feelings as well. And once you get hooked on those, like it says in Proverbs 28 and verse 26, foolish are the individuals who trust in ourselves, trust in your own feelings and the way you think things should be. God's word is permanent. It endures forever. 1 Peter 1, verse 25. It doesn't change. There's no uncertainty when it's dealing with God. You can be sure when it's God involved. And he wants us to be sure. Because our feelings and our hearts, you read about this in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20, our feelings, our hearts might condemn us. Self-condemnation is a big problem with a lot of people, and it can bleed over into even the church of God. But it tells us God is greater than our hearts, and he knows all things. God overrides our feelings with his word. And he says, there's no reason to feel that way because here's what I have said. And if you're in compliance here, there's nothing to worry about over here. So he gives us an override factor. Feelings can bring about false confidence. You know, you read there in Luke 18 and verse 11, chapter 18 and verse 11, where the Pharisee thought that he was right with God. He says, oh, I'm so glad I'm not like everybody else. I'm glad I do this and I'm glad I do that. And what did Jesus say? He couldn't even see what his problem was. He says, the publican, who didn't even look up, just hung his head and said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. He said, now that one understands his condition. And he exonerated the publican, not the Pharisee. And so we're admonished not to be Pharisees in our walk with God as we live life. What may look right to us can be totally wrong. Proverbs 14 and verse 12. Proverbs 14 and verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, to a woman, but the ends, what's at the end of the road, is death. Now, you and I, we don't like to think about those things. You know, that's not one of those topics we enjoy talking about, death. But it's in the world. And why is it in the world? It's because of sin. What is sin? Sin is the transgression of God's law. Now, those who do away with God's law, I guess they're not sinners. Because you have to have the law in order to define sin. Well, if that's the case, then why are they preaching about grace? Because you can't have grace unless you acknowledge first that you have broken the law of God. That's the only time you get genuine grace. And so somebody tells you you're under grace, but they don't want any part of God's law. They're telling you you have false grace. They're giving you hope that is really no hope at all. The hope comes from God's word that God is willing to forgive us our sins if we are willing to repent. And if we're willing to make our calling and election sure. That's not something that God wants us to put on the back burner. He wants us to know that Psalm 119, 105, that his word serves as a guide to all of us. You know, we're living in these dangerous end times. You and I need a guide. Just like children need loving parents who watch over those children to bring them to adulthood so they can stand on their own two feet. Now, when they're little, they can stand on their little feet and they think they know everything about everything. That's just like we are children. And that's why God calls us children, because we stand on our feet and sometimes we think we know and we don't know what we think we know. And so God wants us to be absolutely sure that we're looking to him and not to man, for confidence and sureness in our calling. The knowledge God gives us about the things we believe, what we are to practice, and I think most of us are aware of those basic things. They're just very basic, but you know those things are what determine who and what we are. And if we adhere to those, they demonstrate who and what we are. People recognize there's something different about you. Why do you keep the Sabbath? Why do you do these things that you do? And you have to know that you know and believe in what you know to be true, or otherwise you won't do it. You'll do what you want to do. And that's what mankind has done. And you read in Revelation when God finally begins to open the door and with the two witnesses begins to show mankind what's really coming down in these years ahead. They're not going to like it. They're upset. It says they repented not of their sorceries and their murders and their adulteries and all the things. They don't want to change their lifestyle. You and I have been called to change our lifestyle. Every one of us have had to give up things. You've had maybe a dream, something you wanted to do in life. But it was on a collision course like the Titanic with what God revealed to you, and you have to say, I got to let it go. If I hang on to that, I'm going to sink like the Titanic. I got to let it go so that I can hold on to this, what God has revealed to me, because this is where I won't sink. I'll be a rock solid. Even though the storms of life come, I'll be able to stay rock solid in what God has promised. He'll be there to watch over me. That's the confidence we get in God. We're told not to trust in man. Philippians 2 and verse 12, what are you and I commanded? This is one of my favorite scriptures, where it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Do you fear? Do you tremble? Well, if you don't fear God and you're just living life on your own as an individual, which I hope and pray none of us are doing, but it's a warning to us to remind ourselves that we have to do what? With fear and trembling. The fear comes in because God is telling us what we need to do. And he said, we tremble before the word of God, but we know that it is God who works in and through us to accomplish his will and his purpose. It's not us doing it. It's the Spirit of God at work in our lives. False teachers abound all over the place. And boy, can you find them today. They're all over the place, and they all say they all believe in Jesus, and yet they're coming and going in all different directions. So how is one supposed to figure that out? The only way you can figure it out, and this was a question that was raised years ago by many people before all this dynamic change in our day and age today, before cell phones and modern, what we call technology that has dominated the marketplace. A person would ask this question, why so many denominations? If we all believe in God, if everybody loves God, everybody wants to do God's will, why is everybody going in different directions? Especially when the scripture says Christ is not divided in Corinthians. Why do people divide? Because they want to do it their own way. We have submitted ourselves to God, surrendering our way, because we've been given a calling. God has touched you in your life, young and old. That's why you know what you know about these different things, and why the vast majority of people in this world, they don't subscribe to it, because they haven't been called. This is what Jesus told his own disciples when he was talking with them, and he mentioned something very important to them. In Matthew 13 and verse 11, he was talking to them very much like I'm talking to you right now. And they asked him a question. They said, Master, why is it that when you're talking to us, you say things pretty straight, but when you talk to those people out there, you're always using parables? It's kind of like you don't tell them the same way. And he said, because unto you it has been given. And dear brethren, that's exactly what has happened. That's why you and I are here today. Unto us something has been given, something that has changed our life in a way that we never would have dreamed of when we were growing up as little children in this world. We have witnessed things today in our day and age that if somebody had told you that 20 years ago, you'd say, that'll never happen here. And yet it's happening, exactly like the word of God has said. Do you have mockers out there mocking the things of God? Oh, yeah, big time. When Jesus comes back, one of the things he asks, will the Son of Man find faith on the earth? Will anybody have confidence, faith, trust, and know that they know that the Son of God is coming? And whether they live or whether they die doesn't really matter when it's all said and done, because if you're now belonging to Jesus Christ and he is the one you have committed your life to, the rest is in God's hands. Your future is secure. You don't have to be uncertain and looking and saying, well, you know, I wonder wonder if God's going to save me. And yeah, the biggest thing that I always find that troubles people and they become most uncertain in their minds is this. They want to know, have my sins been forgiven? Why? Because they go back to their sins from time to time. You see, you and I are called to be overcomers. We have to fight against the tendency to want to go back to the old ways we used to do things. And the old ways we used to do things are what put us right in the trouble pot that we were boiling in. And that was, we were in trouble with God. And we, you know, you can't have a relationship with God and knowingly practice things that you shouldn't be practicing or doing or thinking. One of the biggest areas is idols. People have so much, I mean, it becomes so commonplace. You can put your television on and you can watch America's Got Idols or America's Got Talents or was originally, I think it was America's Idols something on television and different ones. But we talk about movie idols and screen idols and people wanting to be like somebody else. But how about being like Jesus Christ? The Holy Scriptures of Almighty God tells us something. Let's notice this in, join me if you will, please, in 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm sorry, 2 Peter chapter 1. And notice what the scripture says, beginning in verse 19. It says, we also have a note, sure word, not an uncertain word. There's nothing uncertain about God and how he operates. It says, we have a sure word of prophecy. We have the prophecies as God has outlined them, not as men have interpreted those prophecies. Because notice as it goes on to say, wherefore you do well to do what? Take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, because these prophecies shed light on life's purpose, why we're here, why the Bible was given. And Jesus, of course, is that light that came into the world, and the world is a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart, when you suddenly discover, or like people like to coin the expression, I saw the light. In other words, the light went on, you suddenly got the message and you understood. For the prophecy came not in old time, verse 21, by the will of man. Prophecy has nothing to do with man's desire. Prophecy is the revealing of God to mankind. Now, this is one reason why you and I recognize that prophecy is one of the divine proofs of Almighty God. Because God has made certain statements in the Bible, and he has brought it to pass exactly as he has said. That's an affirmation, something you can count on. And so he goes on to say, these were individuals in old times, not by man's will, man didn't figure it out, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Spirit of God. They were moved by these things. And God wants us to be moved because, like he said, he doesn't like this Laodicean day and age in which we're living. And so he says he's going to vomit some out because he loves them. And I certainly hope and pray for all of us that we're none of that, because that's not going to be a pleasant time to have to learn. We don't want to learn the hard way. We want to learn the way God has outlined. What he has done in chapter 1 of this same book, 2 Peter, is absolutely incredible. I want you to look at that, if you will, please, because Simon Peter, verse 1, says he is a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ unto them who have obtained like precious faith. You and I have obtained something that we never had before. It was this precious faith that comes from God through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Then he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Now, you are to be according to verse 3. And this was, to me, a blowout scripture. I'd never heard this before years ago, studying scripture, listening to other individuals talk about biblical things. Notice verse 3. According as his divine power. What makes all this possible? The power of God. His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life. Here we are on planet Earth in the Goldilocks zone. Everything provided that is needed so that we can live and enjoy life. And there's a great prophetic plan being worked out here below, and God is the author of it. And he's provided everything for us, all blessings, of godliness and through the knowledge of him that has, notice, called us. He didn't call everybody, but he called us. And why did he call us now? So that you and I could know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And people today do not know where the kingdom of God is or where it is coming. But you do. We all do by the grace of God. And that's why we're here. Because we want to be in the kingdom of God. We want God not to leave us behind or forget about us, but put us in that kingdom that he has outlined here for us, because he has told us he loved us. He's forgiven us our sins. He says, don't look back at those sins. They're buried beneath the blood of Christ. Why do you let the devil keep pushing you back, worrying about those things in the past? That is for sure gone. What you now have to do is to go forward. Now, here's the hard part. The battle is, don't go that easy way that is the broad way that leads to destruction, but go that narrow, straight. And the Bible uses the term torturous way. Jesus died on a torture stake, as it is referred to in Scripture. He was tortured for you and for me because of all the rotten things we do as human beings and have done. But we don't like to think how rotten and dirty and filthy we have been. We like to think how good we are. No, we still got a long way to go, but I'll tell you something. Because we accept that blood of Jesus Christ that God has shown us and revealed to us, when God the Father looks at us, he doesn't see our sinful natures. He knows that we're sinful creatures, but through Christ, he sees us as righteousness through Jesus Christ, our high priest and savior. That's a wonderful calling and peace of mind. That's the peace of mind that passes all understanding in Christ Jesus, because today people are looking for peace of mind and are looking at all the wrong places. And he says he's called us unto glory and to virtue. Then he lists all the different things that talk about changing the way we've been to what we are to become. He says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises, we might be made partakers of the divine nature. Nobody ever told me that when I was years ago learning and studying about scriptures and studying like you, a student of the Bible. I wanted to know. They're telling me that you go to heaven when you die. Well, you can't. Are you going to go to heaven when you die? Well, some people say you are. Other people say you aren't. Some don't know where you're going to go. So when you get all confused like that and uncertain, you have got to do what? You've got to nail down certain things in your own mind and heart, because that's what you're going to live by for the rest of your life. And it doesn't matter what other people think. It's what you know based on what you have studied, because that's what you're going to be evaluated and judged by. And God says judgment is on the house of God right now. We're all being judged. How we live, whether we're going to embrace the things that God has said, and we're going to be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. It's infected all of us because we've all been bitten by the serpent, the snake, the god of this world. And he got to us and poisoned us when we were very young in the womb. We didn't even realize it. Because when we came into this world, we thought, boy, we're just in a wonderful place. Everything is fun and games. And then we learn as we grow up, life isn't fun and games. There's great dangers out there. The Spirit of God teaches us the things that we need to be prepared. Salvation is only found in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Acts 4, verse 12, there's no other name given among men whereby we can be saved. There was an example, a story about the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, here's an individual, we're given this example. He's concerned. Philip is brought to him through a miraculous contact. And he asks the question, well, who is this talking about here in the book of Isaiah? And then the Ethiopian eunuch learned the command. That's found in Acts chapter 8. And then it says, after he heard Philip's explanation, it says he believed and he confessed. Oh, yeah, I agree with what that is saying. And then what happened? He said, well, I'd like to be baptized. Acts 8, verse 38, there was some water, and so Philip baptized him. The example is left there for our reason to show us that when a person comes to conviction of heart and knows that these things are rock solid, that's when you want to make the move to baptism. Don't put off baptism waiting to be perfect, because you will never be perfect in this life. It's the conviction of God word, not your feelings, like I feel like I need to be baptized. That's not good enough. Why do you want to be baptized? I want my sins blotted out. I want to walk in newness of life. I want to live the way God asked me to live, because I haven't lived that way before. These are the things we have to ask ourselves. Then are we, as the Bible says, are you a changed person? Can you look back on this past year of 2019? Are you a changed person for better or for worse? Are you moving forward or are you slipping backward? The Bible warns about backsliding. We have to ask ourselves those questions. And we don't like to, because we like to think everything's okay. I'm okay, you're okay. God does not give us a preach to them smooth things. God wants us to hear the facts the way they really are. The job of the ministry is, we're not casting stones. It says very plainly, Isaiah 58, cry aloud and show my people their sins. Now that doesn't mean blare at them and knock them over the head. It just merely means they don't know what they're doing. And Jesus even said that on the cross, Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. They don't even understand why I'm dying on this stake. It's for them. And when you understand that, and you have your private moments with God in prayer, I'll tell you one thing. You're going to cry. And you're going to cry from the heart. Not trying to, and somehow hoping that God is going to be impressed by that. But God's going to see your tears. And he's going to know whether they're legitimate or they're phony. Because there's a lot of people today that are professional criers. They know how to cry. They know how to fool the daylights out of you. And they put on a good show. And God sees right through it. All God wants from us is what is said in Micah 8, verse 6 is what it is. He wants us to do justly. He wants us to love mercy. And he wants us to do what? Walk humbly with him. Very important. God is for us, and we're told not to be fearful in our dealings with God. God wants us to succeed. He wants us to prosper. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. We're told in Hebrews 4, 16 that he wants us to come boldly before his throne, to commune with him, to talk to him. These are important scriptures that are written for our learning. Romans 15:4, remember, everything is written for our learning. Our love for God drives out the fear of uncertainty. You've got nothing to fear when you're dealing with God, except you know that God does not approve of wrong behavior. And so the more we come to God in repentance, the better off all of us will be. Let's notice 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Notice what it says. Verse 17, we begin there. It says, all unrighteousness, that means all that is contrary to the law of God, is sin. And there is a sin not unto death. And then verse 18, notice something the way it is phrased. How do they write this? Do they write these words with uncertainty or with conviction? He says, we know that whosoever is born of God sins not. In other words, you've been begotten by God's Spirit, that you're not going to be out there practicing sin. And in the ultimate state, once we're in the kingdom of God, we'll definitely not sin ever, because we won't want any part of it. It's left behind beneath the blood of Christ. Now he that is begotten of God keeps himself that the wicked one touches him not. In other words, you're aware of the fact how Satan is out there like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And so what are you going to do? You're going to be watching and being alert. Wise person foresees danger and avoids. We stay away from Satan and his ways. And we know again, notice this word, we know that we are of God and that the whole world that we live in lies in wickedness. Verse 20, and we know, notice again, we know. The question is, do we know? We have to ask ourselves that constantly. That the Son of God is come and has given us that's why we're here on the Sabbath. We've been given the understanding of the Sabbath, but not everybody understands about the Sabbath. They think it's for Jews and Jews only. God said the Sabbath was made for man, not for the Jews. And it covers everybody. And so with our understanding that ye may what? That we may know him that is true, and that we are in him that is true, and that in the Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God and eternal life. And so we're admonished, little children, keep yourself from idols. Amen. That's exactly what God is asking us to do, as he tells us to make sure that in this calling that God has given us, that we never forget the precious understanding that we are to make this calling and election sure. Because why? If you do that, you will never fall. Some translations say you will never fail, because God will bring it to pass. May God help us all as we move forward to make our calling and election sure.